Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and to say,
"Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me."
But many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly,
"Son of David, have mercy on me."
Jesus stood still and said,
"Call him here."
And they called the blind man, saying to him,
"Take heart, get up, he is calling you."
So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him,
"What do you want me to do for you?"
The blind man said to Jesus,
"My teacher, let me see again."
Jesus said to the man,
"Go, your faith has made you well."
And immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So one of the things that Jesus is probably most well known for in his ministry is healing. Healing others. Here, just in the Gospel of Mark, up to this point, we've already heard that Jesus healed demon-possessed individuals. He healed a girl that was dead and a hemorrhaging woman. And we also know that he had healed another man, a man who was blind from birth. Now today, in today's reading, we find another individual who is said to be blind. And now, before we get too far into that reading, there is an important word of caution here. Now, with all of this talk about Jesus healing the deaf and the blind and the lame, it's easy for us to assume that Jesus prefers people who do not live with disability. And religious people have used such assumptions to terrorize those with disabilities and heaped blame and shame and disdain on their families. But what we know is clear in the scriptures is that God has created humankind with a diversity of abilities, skills, gifts, and talents. And some of our siblings who do live with disabilities remind us that they still have strong bodies and full lives. And those living with a disability are no less gifted, talented, or human than another. Okay, so with that beginning kind of caveat, today's reading, it's kind of hard to tell if the man was actually living with a disability or not. I mean, the author said in verse 46 that he was a, quote, blind beggar sitting by the roadside. But what's kind of weird when we hear today's reading is that when Jesus finally kind of beckoned him to come, he quickly threw off his coat, he sprang up and went to Jesus. So, I mean, at least to me, that kind of seems a little odd, right? If you're fully blind, how could you just quickly throw that off, spring up, and just go running right to Jesus? So, I mean, maybe at one level, maybe he's just partially blind or he's having trouble seeing. But here's the thing. If we go back to the original language that the New Testament was written in, which is Greek, we get a particular word here. And this Greek word that's translated as blind here has two different meanings. Now, the first meaning, right, it can be naturally blind, right? So kind of thinking about, okay, we can't see what's going on here, something going on with our eyes, some kind of ocular problem. But then there is also another meaning, and that is spiritually blind. And so that's where today's reading gets tricky. We know that in this particular case, Mark doesn't say that he's blind from birth. He just says that he's blind and by the road. So, taking these two things together, it seems that the author is doing more to emphasize this blindness as a disposition more than a condition. And perhaps it's solely a disposition. Okay, so if you don't understand what that means, blindness in this story is probably mainly describing how the man was treated and how he acted, and maybe has less to do with a disability. Are we kind of following that so far? I know I've kind of thrown a lot of words, and I can't see your faces yet, someday soon. Okay, kind of making sense, yeah? So, if we kind of keep going here, we get this moment where this man is healed, and there's this changing temperament, this changing outlook, or this inclination. And if we see that that's really what's happening, this changing outlook, this new inclination, this new temperament, then we can kind of see this text in a different way than a healing of a disability, right? So if we go with the spiritual way instead of the kind of physical way, kind of a different way of seeing that, yeah? No? Yeah? Kind of thinking about football later. Is there football today? I don't even know. Is it football season? That's a real question. Yeah? Okay. It is football season. Okay. I hear something about baseball wrapping up too. Is that still going? Yeah? Okay. So try not to think about football and baseball. But it's kind of making sense, right? If we think about it as less of a physical disability and more as a spiritual disability, that really influences how we understand the text, right? Does that make sense? Kind of? No? Okay. People seem to get football and baseball better, not as much the difference between these abilities here. Okay, but so let's pretend that it's a spiritual disability instead of a physical disability, right? So instead of the text being about God needing to rid the world of people living with disabilities, then the text becomes more about our natural tendency to lose out on the fullness of life. And you see, this general disposition is exactly what St. Augustine and Martin Luther called being curved or turned inward on oneself. So if you've ever been to one of my baptism classes or a new member class, you know that we talk about sin being turned or curved inward, right? So it's this idea that we all have this human tendency to take all the best gifts of God, all that God has given them, and make them about ourselves. We take more and more than our fair share. We hoard, we take, we hold on to it because we believe that there is not enough. We become blinded by our own beliefs and our ideologies. Our ego is the one that gets in the way of understanding the person with whom we disagree. We believe the lie that we are all self-made individuals. We allow our ego and our pride to take over and get in the way of seeing the other as a human being, as a beloved child of God. Our ego prevents us from experiencing wholeness with all of creation. And so in that fleeting pursuit of happiness, we have blinders put up. Our desire to seek fame and money and status clouds our vision, and we are incessant in our pursuit of comfort, which leaves us blind, alone, and crying like that man on the side of the road. You and I, in those moments, we cry out for the depth of connection. We cry out for a vision to see beyond our own bubble and the echo chambers of our social media. We cry out for us and for all of the world to be made whole once again. Now, that's if today's story is actually about the blind man. But maybe it's not about the blind man at all. Maybe instead it's about the crowd. Maybe it's about all those individuals who are gathering around and silencing the man. I mean, what if it's about the ways that the dominant majority often calls the minority as the blind one? What if the story is meant to show us how quickly the masses can push another to the side and silence their cries for justice? I mean, in that case, then maybe the story isn't about the man. If it's about the crowd, then maybe it's about how Jesus puts that majority to work, caring for the minority. Now, if you noticed it, and I tried to pause when I was reading it earlier, you notice how in verse 48, Jesus heard the man crying out, right? All these people are silencing him. And then Jesus, what did Jesus do? There in verse 48. You've got the answer in front of you, verse 48. Anyone? Bueller? No? Anyone? I feel like I'm back to where it's only worship live stream. So in verse 48, Jesus hears them, and what does Jesus do? Calls him, and right before that, one more time, Bonnie, stood still. That's an interesting little note there, right? We think about the calling quickly, and that's important, right? The calling is really important, but first Jesus stood still, and then he invited the majority to bring in the minority into Jesus' work, right? It becomes a partnership between the majority to help bring along the minority into God's work. Is that making sense? Yeah, a little bit? Okay. Well, you see, here, Jesus is illuminating the call of wholeness, right? There is one that is a part, and it is not part of the whole. If we bring in the part into the whole, now that community is made whole. And so maybe this story is less about the man who happens to be blind and more about how differences can lead the masses towards kind of an us and them mentality, how it can lead those in power to silence the margins. After it all, isn't it kind of our human tendency to want to flaunt our power and our privilege? It's so easy for us to make in-groups and out-groups. It's quick for us to label that person as foe, and somebody else is our friend. It is we in those situations, when we are a part of the majority, when we silence the other, it is we who become blinded to the gifts and the perspectives that bring a fullness to our understanding. But the thing is I'm not quite sure that this reading is even about the crowd either. I don't know that it's about the man. I don't know that it's about the crowd. You know, it's church after all, so it's probably about Jesus, right? Probably about God and God's vision for the world. You see, here's another fun one, right? We go back to the Greek. I love doing this. You know that. When Jesus said that the man was made well, it's a horrible translation. Absolutely horrible. It's a complete understatement of what Jesus is saying here. So in the Greek, this is the word here that's translated as well. So it comes from the root sozo. And sozo also means healed, saved, and to be whole. So it's not just like, do you remember back in the day, Walgreens tried for a while there, after you checked out, they'd be like, be well, right? They were always like, be well. That was like their tagline for a little bit. Like 5 years ago? No? Okay. Maybe I listened to people too closely at checkout. Thank you, doctor. Anyway, it's not just be well. It's not like good luck, hope the temperature breaks, right? This is talking about something larger than that. It means saved. It means wholeness. You see, Jesus restored the man to the community and the community to the man. Wholeness was Jesus's gift. And then in the final sentence, it also tells us that the man followed Jesus along the way, right? This was not a one-and-done thing. That is, this man continued to do the work of Jesus in embracing the fullness of understanding. The man came to follow the way of Christ by rejecting pride and violence. I mean, maybe that was his thing, right? Maybe he was so inwardly focused, that's why he was sitting on the side. He couldn't think about anyone besides himself. So maybe at this moment, now he's restored to community. Or maybe it's that the man began to see that acts of service and love are the primary language of God. Or maybe it was that the man was restored to community, and the community, by bringing that man back inside, was restored and made whole once again. So perhaps that's where we'll leave it today. Was it the community? Crowd? Was it the man? The ego? Was it Jesus? God's vision? You know, maybe it's a little bit of all of that. Maybe it's the opportunity for us to wonder how we might be blinded, like that man, by our own selfishness and ego. Maybe the story just leaves us to examine how we have perpetuated systems of inequality and used our power to silence and shun the other. But also at the same time, we're not left there alone, just reflecting on how bad our life is or how imperfect we are. Rather, we are invited by God to live in a reality where wholeness can only come from the fullness of community. It's a vision for a presence that invites you and me to join with others in doing God's work and encourages us to invite the other, even the ones that we are so quick to want to silence, to invite them to share their gifts and join us. Friends, I think that's the key to today's reading, that God is inviting us into robust wholeness for all of God's children. For it is in that gathering of all of God's children that healing and grace can truly be given. Amen.